Greetings, friends, and welcome to another exciting program on the Abomination of Desolation. The Abomination of Desolation is spoken of by Daniel the prophet in three places. It's in Daniel chapter 9, chapter 11, and chapter 12. I've shown you in two of those passages how two pagan people fulfilled part of those prophecies. Antiochus fulfilled Daniel chapter 11, verses 21 through 39. But he did not fulfill verses 40 through 45. So we're going to cover that today. Titus fulfilled Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, but he did not fulfill verse 27. We're going to cover that in our next broadcast. And neither did Titus nor Antiochus fulfill Daniel chapter 12 and verses 11 through 12. And we're going to cover that two programs from now. So this means that someone else will fulfill these verses. Who will it be? Before we begin our discovery process, let me unveil to you Satan's scenario. Satan deceives by imitation. So what's going to happen? The true Messiah will stop this world from destroying itself during the Battle of Armageddon. Then he will set up the kingdom of God and usher in peace and prosperity. Satan, in order to deceive people, will counterfeit this. So what Satan will do is he will stir up a battle, which people will think is the Battle of Armageddon. Satan is going to stir up this battle. Then he's going to send a false Messiah to stop the world from destroying itself in this counterfeit battle of Armageddon. So he sends a counterfeit Messiah. And then this counterfeit Messiah sets up his kingdom, which is an imitation of the kingdom of God, and he ushers in peace and prosperity. But of course, this peace is really no peace at all. It's simply a cessation of hostilities, and this prosperity will not be prosperity for all. It will be prosperity for him and his cronies. So Satan will counterfeit what God will do. That's how Satan operates. He counterfeits in order to deceive people. So now let's turn to Daniel chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 40 through 45, because we're going to see this counterfeit scheme unfolding. It says something very critical that we need to pay attention to start off. It says, at the end time. So we know that this prophecy is for the end time, right before the true Messiah returns. It says, at the end time, the king of the south shall push at the king of the north. Now, in previous scriptures that we went over, we showed, historically speaking, that the king of the south is Egypt. And you're going to notice a little bit further in this section of scripture here that the king of the south is also hinted at as continuing to be Egypt. So the king of the south shall push at the king of the north. The king of the south initiates a conflict against the king of the north. The king of the north, it says, shall come against the king of the south like a tempest, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And the king of the north shall enter into many countries and shall flow over them. He's going to come and destroy many, many nations. These nations will be in league with the king of the south. But the king of the north is victorious in his war against the king of the south. Now, this war is the war that Satan stirs up so that then he can send a false Messiah to stop the war and to usher in peace. So it says, he shall also enter into the glorious land. That's what the king of the north does. The king of the north enters into the glorious land. And in fact, what we see is that the king of the north himself is the one who stops this battle from occurring. And notice what it says, after he comes into the glorious land, which we know is Israel, many shall be tripped up. What does this mean? Many shall be tripped up. What it means is that the king of the north shall cause many in Israel to commit apostasy, because he's going to come in appearing to be the Messiah. and people will believe that he is the Messiah because he will have stopped this horrendous war and he will have brought in peace. So people will be thinking that he is the Messiah. Therefore, they will be tripped up. Now we go on to see a little bit of this understanding about who the King of the South is. It says, "But these shall escape out of the hand of the King of the North, Edom and Moab, and the chief of the sons of Ammon." Who are these people? The Edomites are the Turkish people. The Moabites are Arabs. And the chiefs of the sons of Ammon are the Jordanians. So these escape. Now, who are these people? These are Islamic nations. Notice how it goes on. "And he shall stretch out his hands on the land," speaking about the king of the north, "and the land of Egypt shall not escape." This identifies the king of the south. It is the land of Egypt, and this land of Egypt is the leader of the Islamic Federation. It goes on to say, "But he," the king of the north, "shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. And the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps," meaning that these are the next nations to be attacked. But before these nations are attacked, news out of the east and out of the north comes, and it's going to trouble the king of the north. So who is north of the king of the north? Who is north of the king of the north is Russia. Who is east of the king of the north? It is China. So I believe that it will be a federation of Chinese and Russian armies that come to attack now the king of the north, because the king of the north has disposed of the king of the south and has taken over all of the wealth. And the expansionist tendencies of the king of the north is continuing, because he's now at the footsteps of the Libyans and Ethiopians. So in order to stop this, the Chinese and the Russian come against the king of the north to stop him. But the king of the north will go out with great fury to destroy and to devote many to destruction. Now this part here is oh so interesting. It says, "And he shall plant," speaking of the king of the north, "and he shall plant his palace tents between the seas in the glorious holy mountain." Now think about this. "And he shall plant his palace tents between the seas in the glorious holy mountain." The abomination of desolation, what it says in Matthew, when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place where it ought not. Going back to what it says here, "And he shall plant," when you see the abomination of desolation standing, "and he shall plant," where did he plant it? He planted his palace tents between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. When you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, in the glorious holy mountain. And a perfect description. What is this glorious holy mountain between the seas? Well, the glorious holy mountain is Mount Zion, which is Jerusalem. And it is indeed between the Mediterranean and Red Seas. A perfect description. The abomination of desolation, when you see it set up and standing in the holy place where it ought not. That's what's going to happen here, is he is going to then, after he's continued his wars, he's going to come back into Israel, and now he will take over Israel. Before, he came in as a protector, bringing in peace and prosperity, but now he comes back to actually take over Israel, to set himself up as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Notice the last part though. "Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him." He will not succeed. His kingdom will not last forever, as it says of the true Messiah. His kingdom shall come to an end. So in summary, what we saw from Daniel chapter 11, verses 40 through 45, is that the King of the South is Egypt, perhaps leading a confederation of Islamic nations, And the King of the South is the one that instigates hostilities against the King of the North. And perhaps this is because the King of the North has made a pact with Israel to protect it during the building of the Third Temple. Now remember that with the first abomination of desolation and with the second abomination of desolation, both of them had to do with the destruction of the first and second temple. So this third abomination of desolation, which is the abomination of desolation prophesied by Daniel the prophet, which Christ referenced, this abomination of desolation will surround a temple also. This will be the third temple that will be rebuilt. Now, Daniel chapter 11 does not describe who the King of the North is, but I can tell you the King of the North is the resurrected Holy Roman Empire and Mystery Babylon the Great. During the first destruction of the temple, who destroyed it? It was Nebuchadnezzar, King of Babylon. During the second destruction of the temple, who destroyed it? It was Titus, the chief Roman general. So what God is doing in prophecy is he's melding these two together. He's melding Mystery Babylon and the Holy Roman Empire. He's melding them together so that this abomination of desolation, which will desolate the third temple, it will occur by both a Holy Roman Empire and a Mystery Babylon religion. So in the abomination of desolation, we can see that the King of the North is the Holy Roman Empire and Mystery Babylon the Great. And we'll cover more of this in the future. So this King of the North is perhaps leading a confederation of Christian nations in victory against the King of the South. And if the King of the South is indeed Egypt leading a confederation of Islamic nations, then what we have here is the last jihad or the last crusade. And perhaps we could say the last jihad and the last crusade combined. That's why people is going to think that this is the battle of Armageddon, because it will be a furious battle where these two opposing forces will be against each other. But the King of the North will win, and then he's going to come into Israel as its protector and appear to be, and be accepted indeed, as the Savior of the world. But he is the false Messiah. He is the Antichrist. That's right. The abomination of desolation is the Antichrist. He is the King of the North. He is the beast power that we're going to talk about in future programs. But many people are deceived because he will bring in peace and prosperity. His armies will surround Jerusalem as a peacekeeping force. Now this is the time for us to flee. For those of us who can see the signs of the times, this is when we should flee, because this will be when he makes this 7-year covenant to protect Israel from future aggressions. And when this pact is made, this is our time to flee. Again, I'll have more to say about that in future programs, but this is what I want you to understand, is that the identity of the abomination of desolation has been revealed to you, and the identity is the Antichrist.